Blog Talk Radio.
Worried about God's judgment. Not too many people worried about
much of anything these days except for their creature comforts and maybe who's going to win American Idol or The Voice or the X Factor or whatever. You tell them all the shows, but I'm going to share one more by now. But people are not really concerned too much these days with the things of God. Amen. I find that even a lot of people who name the name of Christ are not really concerned about the things of God these days. They're worried about what's going to happen, but they're not really concerned about how to live in the process. Amen. I think there's a whole lot more concern about self-preservation than there is about soul preservation. I'll put it that way. You, if you're a believer, look up here this morning. If you are a child of God, this is just a vehicle carrying you around. This thing you see. That's it. It's just a shed. And you, this is not you. What you, this is not me. This flesh and blood is not me. This is just my vessel. Me, I'm on the inside. Amen? Christ dwells with me there. And that part of me should be much more important to me than what I see on the outside and what you see on the outside. And that's really what we're going to look at this morning. We're deviating off of our year-long, year-and-a-half-long, 2-year-long, however-long, Bob, you said that, been doing it. I don't know how long it's been. I don't really care either. It's been a while. But we're going to deviate off of it just for this Sunday. And I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we'll begin there in verse 15 down to verse 23. And we do want to welcome
you who are listening to us on the internet this morning. And we're grateful for our internet listeners and praise God for them and want them to be encouraged as well. We hate it that they can't be here with us to enjoy the good food after we get done eating. I mean, after we get done preaching, there it is. Same thing, either way. Yeah, we're eating here, we're going to eat in there. We're eating bread of life in here. So, but anyway, John chapter 14, if you found that, if you have, say amen. Amen. A little bit different message than what I've been used to preaching here lately. Been doing things just a little bit different, but we're gonna look this morning at how to be a keeper of Christ's words. Amen? How to be a keeper of his commandments. If you would there, John 14, 15 and following, the Bible says, if you love me, that's what Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We could stop right there and not go any further, but I will. But I want you to take that in for a second. Jesus said to you, Jesus did not say it just to some men in robe standing on the Sea of Galilee, amen. Jesus did not just say this to people who are gathered around on the hillside. Jesus spoke these words to you if you're a believer this morning. This is a personal message to you. Don't worry about what he said to me. What did he say to you? Amen. He said, if ye, that's you, if you love him, keep his commandments. Plain and simple. Amen. I don't think that's any different. Well, it certainly has more magnitude, but it's not any different from a child looking up at his mother or his daddy and them saying, if you love me, you're going to do what I tell you. Amen? God give us these relationships in our life to help us to understand our relationship to him, that of a parent and a child. And Christ, when he tells us something, he expects us to obey him. When I tell my children something, I expect them to obey me. Amen? If they don't obey me, they're in trouble. If I don't obey the Lord, I'm in trouble. So it's very crucial that we understand just how serious it is that we obey Christ when he tells us something. Amen? He said, if you love me, if, that's a big word there, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, and I will pray the Father. That means he's just saying, I'm going to ask my Father. I will ask him, and he shall give you another comforter. We talked about that last week. That word another there, it doesn't mean another one sort of like me. It doesn't mean another one that's different than me. It means another exactly the same, identical, as identical twins are identical, but not even that vague, even more than identical twins because they're two different people. Amen? But Christ said, another comforter, just exactly as I am, that he may abide with you forever. Amen? And listen, I asked my Heavenly Father, I ask him to save my soul. I ask him to forgive my sins. I ask him to cleanse me. I ask him to be my Savior. And when I asked Christ to be my Savior, he gave me a comforter to abide with me forever. He'll never leave. He's always with me forever and ever. Even the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. This world has no idea who the Holy Ghost of God is, because it has never experienced the Holy Ghost of God. They do not know him, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know who the Holy Ghost of God is if you're saved. Amen. He operates within you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Praise God. I have life. Listen, I have life because he gave me life. And he lives in me. Amen. As Paul said, this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, it's yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's his life that lives in me now. The old me was dead in trespasses and sins. The old me was no good. The old me was useless. And the old me, look up here, is still useless. And it's still no good. The old me did not get better when I got saved. Amen? Let's get that straight. You get saved. Too many people, and I know I'm getting off the message, but I just want to say it. Too many people, they say, well, I got saved, and then they keep trying to clean up the old dead person. Can I tell you something? You cannot take a corpse and make them alive again. You cannot take, I mean, you can put all kinds of make, and I've seen the funeral homes do a great job on some people. I really have. I've seen some turn out just look beautiful. But the truth of it is, that's just covering up what's really there underneath. Amen? It's trying to make death look better. But death is still ugly, no matter what you do to it. The Bible says in verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. Now get this, is hard to grasp unless you think about it. In that day ye shall know that I, Jesus said, am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Wrap your head around that one. Amen? Jesus said, I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. That's a conundrum there. But but you got to understand, that's something you can't grasp with your brain. Amen? He's in us. Amen? We're in him. Amen? Praise God, the relationship and the standing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He's putting a priority on keeping those commandments. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let's look at that one just a second again. Amen. Whoever has Christ's commandment. You say, well, I don't know what Christ said. Well, you need to get in this book. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I know the Ten Commandments. Jesus' commandment, he gave you a whole lot more than the ten. Amen. There's a whole lot of them in here. Amen. But all, listen, his words, praise God. He said, whoever has them and keeps them. Amen. That means I hold your word in a higher regard than I do anybody else's on this planet. Amen? Even more so than my mother or my father, even more so than a police officer or a state legislator or a congressman or a senator or a president or a king or an ambassador, anybody. I hold your word in higher regard than any other voice on this planet. Amen? The Bible says, he it is that loveth me. If you have them and you keep them, you love me. That's how Love is proved by obedience. You can't tell me you love Jesus and you don't obey him. You're lying. Amen? You think you have the truth, but the truth's not in you if you don't love him. Amen? If you don't want to obey him. The Bible says, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Listen, you love the Lord Jesus and you obey him and you give your heart to him and you want to do what he asks you to do. Amen? You want to follow him and you can't do it in your old flesh. Again, that old man is dead. You must live in the new creature that he has made. Amen? The new creature in Christ Jesus, amen, must do the living, not the old you. But I'm telling you something, friend. You yield and let God take over that. God will love on you like you've never been loved on before. His favor is greater than the favor of men. His favor is greater than anything that any person can bestow upon you in this world. And Jesus said, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. He will reveal himself to you. He will show himself through you. Amen? Christ will come through in your life and you will see his handiwork in your life, my friends. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He said, how are you going to show back up and nobody else see you? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, help us these next few moments, Lord, to understand the gravity of your statements. Help us this morning, Lord, to get our minds off of all the things that would distract us. Father, I pray this morning that, Lord, that you would hold our attention sharply, Lord, upon these things. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would, Lord, shine the light of truth upon us. And Lord, force us to come to grips with ourselves. Father, force us to analyze ourselves, not to hold ourselves up next to someone else who we deem to be godly. Lord, but to hold ourselves up next to Scripture and see where we fall short. Father, burden us if we're not close to Thee. Lord, I pray that you'd create a yearning in us to be near Thee, to be what you'd have us to be. Father God, not let us rest until we seek to have the relationship restored if it's strained. Father, if it's someone here this morning who's not born again, who's never come to Christ in repentance and faith and believed and trusted Christ, wash their sins away. Lord, I pray today would be the day. Oh, Lord, what a great day it would be for someone to come and be born again. Father, please help us these next few moments. Fill me with your Holy Ghost, Lord. I yield myself to you. I pray you'd cleanse me and fill me and use me for Christ's honor and glory. I'm nothing without you, and I know it. And I pray for your power now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. We'll come unto him, he says. He'll come through the presence and power that is exerted through the Holy Ghost. That's how God comes to us. When we read the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God takes the Word of God and applies it to your life. He said we will make our abode with him. When someone comes to a place to live, amen, we talked about this before. When someone, well, I'll use Brandon for example. Brandon, they bought a house out on 195, right off 195. When y'all came into that place, you didn't like the color the walls were, right? So you had to go to Home Depot. Y'all set up residence at Home Depot there for about a month or two, didn't you? Because you didn't like the way the homeowner before had this, or you didn't like the way they had that. And so you came in and you made it suitable to y'all's taste, right? Right? You weren't done until you looked at it and said, now it's like we like it, right? That's he made his abode there. That's exactly what he did. And every one of you in here this morning who has moved to a place, you made it your abode. You put stuff on the walls that you wanted on the walls. You put carpet on the floor, you want it on the floor. Amen. You tore up the vinyl if you didn't like the vinyl. You put a deck out back. If you didn't have a deck, you wanted one out back. You put some new steps if they were torn down. You fixed it up like you wanted it. I'll go even further. You buy a car. What are you going to do? You're going to hang something on the rear view that you like. You're going to put an air freshener in there that smells good to you. You're going to put a cup holder in, whatever you need. You're going to make it fit for your use. Am I right? Isn't that what God does? That's what God's trying to do in your life right now. God's trying to make your life his abode if you're a believer. He'll establish residence, amen, and then exert his influence over your life and over your soul. How do we keep his commandments? Well, I got seven ways that we can do that. Number one, we can do that faithfully. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. We are to keep his commandments faithfully. Just as Adam was to keep the garden. Amen. Genesis 2:15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." God wants us to be faithful. When he put Adam there, he said, "Adam, this is your place to take care of." He gave him dominion. He said, "You need to dress this thing and you need to keep this thing." Now you say, "What do you mean he's going to dress it? He's going to put clothes on the garden?" No. You know what he done? He built him a plow. He built him a plow is what he done. And he took one of them donkeys or one of them mules, or I don't think he had mules, but he took a donkey or took an ox or something, and he hitched it up, and he began to till that thing. That's what he said. He said for him to dress it. To dress a garden means to till a garden. Amen? Now, why do we till a garden? We do it so things will grow. Amen? So we can plant things, so things can grow there. Listen, I can tell you, this all this rain we've had, I hadn't had time to dress nothing. Amen? And I can tell you, if you don't dress it, it ain't going to grow. Amen? There's lots of junk out there growing in my house, but ain't none of it what I wanted. Amen? You have got to dress it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we ought to faithfully be working to keep our heart cultivated, tilled, for God to be able to work. It's that, you say, I get so tired of and read my Bible every day. It's just so much hassle to have to sit down and do that. I got so much stuff and I'm so busy. You need that time. You need to let God till your heart. You need to let God do a work and turn that ground over. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't work that ground, you know what happens to it? It gets hard. It gets hard and it gets useless. It has to be busted up. It has to be turned over. When you get in the scriptures and you read in there one of God's commandments, one of Christ's commandments in your life, and you realize, hey, I'm not in line with that. The Holy Ghost of God busts through that soil. Amen? He turns it over, amen, where something can grow, where it's gotten hard and infertile. And he said we're to dress it faithfully. And he says we're to keep it. Now that word keep there means to watch it, to guard it. I tell you, after you put that garden in, listen, you say, man, I'm growing in the Lord, I'm growing in the Lord, but you better watch out because I'm going to tell you what will grow in there in that garden of your heart along with the good things of God. If you're not careful, hey, some weeds will come up in there with it. Amen? And those weeds, listen, the weeds, you say, what weeds? Just the cares of this life. Not necessarily. Listen, you don't have to be. You don't have to grossly fall into sin to turn your back on God. All you got to do is get busy with things that don't matter. You get busy with life. You get busy with things that they're not too worldly, just a little bit, but not too bad. But those things grow and seed and they go to seed and they cause other things to come up in your life. God says we're to be faithful in taking care of this life. Amen? Listen, we're to be careful and be faithful in keeping God's commandments that he's given us. If we love him, we'll be faithful to him. Listen, I can't imagine a child who looks at a loving set of parents and says, you know, I don't care anything about y'all. Listen, if you're cared for by parents who truly love you, They truly love you. What reason do you have to rebel? Amen? What reason have you to rebel against someone who loves you and gives their all for you? What reason do you have? No, we're to be faithful. God help us when we turn our back on Christ. God help us when we walk away from His commandments. We're to keep them faithfully. Number two, we're to keep them constantly. Turn to Psalm chapter 17 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 17 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 17 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." You know, I've read that all my life, apple of the eye. I never did know what that meant till the other day, till just the other day. Amen. Y'all know what the apple of the eye is? It's the pupil. It's the pupil. What keeps the pupil? The eyelid does. Eyelid keeps the eye. Constantly. Our eye has to be kept moist. If it's not, our eye can be damaged. That eyelid constantly keeps that eyelid moist. If anything shoots at our eye, that eyelid's quick and it's careful to keep it covered. Constantly, constantly. Keep me as the apple of the eye. The apple, again, it's the pupil. And the reason it's called the apple of the eye, it refers to something precious being reflected. They call it the apple because if you stand and you look in someone's eye, if you look carefully, you can see your reflection in that eye. And something to be desired is reflected in the pupil, and therefore it was referred to as the apple of the eye. Folks, we need to be constantly, carefully protecting our life by keeping God's commandments. You understand, there are all kinds of things coming at your Christian life. There are all kinds of things that would damage your Christian life. There are all kinds of things that would dry you out as well. Amen. Oh, God help us when we get cold. God help us when we get dry. And we forget the things that God has told us. We forget the commandments that Christ has given us. We forget the love that was shed upon Calvary's hill for you and I. We forget about all that He went through and His passion for us. What He did upon the cross of Calvary. How He suffered for you and I. We forget that. We forget the love that was shed and is shed constantly for us. We ought to be constantly guarding and keeping that relationship. That ought to be the number one priority in our life. Our eyes ought to be single, just as the Word of God tells us to be. We ought to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He ought to be the apple of our eye. And we ought to be constantly protecting and caring for that relationship. I said we ought to be faithfully and constantly protecting the keeping of God's commandments. Number three, we ought to be holy, keeping the commandments of Christ. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. We ought to be holy, keeping the commandments of Christ. Just as the Levites were told to keep charge of the tabernacle. You see, when Moses and the children of Israel, on their way to the promised land, God gave them specifications of how His tabernacle was to be. And there was to be workers in that tabernacle. And those workers were from the tribe of Levi. And all of the Levites, all of the tribe, they were only from the tribe of Levi. They weren't from any other tribe. They were people specifically dedicated to the work of the tabernacle. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation. In other words, they'll do whatever he asks, and they'll do whatever the people ask. Amen? They weren't to come in there and run the show, you see. They were to come in there and be servants and be humble. It said they'll keep the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do service, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. Can I tell you why most people fail at the Christian life? Because most people only remember the Christian life when it's time to go to church. That's why. I've seen it all these years of my ministry. When it's time to get out of church, people are like, whoo, we can finally get out of this and go back to our lives. They don't say that out loud. Boy, if they did, it wouldn't take long for the preacher to get upset at them. But that's the way people act a lot of times. Whew, man, I'm glad he's done. I can go and watch TV now. Whew, we can finally get out of here and go back to our lives. Folks, this is your life. What you do out here when you leave here, listen, when you go out of here, that stuff you do, listen, because you have to survive and have to make it through this life. But when we come in here, this is our life, folks. We are nurturing the very essence of who God wants us to be when we're here. Listen, and God, as he called the Levites out to serve, he called the Levites out to be in charge of the things of God. Can I tell you something this morning? You and I who are born again, washed, blood-washed believers are put in charge of the things of God. And we're not to be part-timers. We're not temporary help. Amen. We didn't come through a temp service. Amen. Listen, we are lifelong, eternal lifelong servants of the Most High God. God put us in charge of it all. You are not a master. You are a servant. I'm not a master. I'm a servant. Amen? Bible tells us, be not many masters. Amen? Listen, you don't want no heavier condemnation on you than you have to have. Amen? Listen, be humble. Be a servant. You belong to him. He bought you with his own blood. He paid for you. I tell people that all the time. You're the most expensive thing ever bought and paid for if you're saved, because it cost Jesus' blood to pay for you. There's nothing on this planet as expensive as you were. You're worth something to God. And because of that, it's not because of you and who you are. It's because of whose you are. And because of that, we ought to be wholly given to keeping Christ's commandments. We ought not take a vacation from Christ's commandments. There's never a time when it's okay to say, not now, not now. I'll get back to that later. No, we are to be wholly lock, stock, and barrel given over. And that's why, listen, why I've been preaching these messages on consecration, folks, because it's not enough just to get saved. We ought to be consecrated to God, sacred to him. We ought to look at our lives as precious as God looks at our lives as. If it costs Christ's blood, it ought to be held in high regard. Holy, faithfully, constantly, holy. That's how we're to keep his commands. Number four, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I would hope most of y'all know the story of Saul and David. Most of you know the story of David and Goliath. If you don't, I feel sorry for you. If you don't know that one, you should have went to Sunday school is all I can tell you. But most of us know that David took the five smooth stones and he went down into the valley. And one little stone went into the sling and the sling went round and round. We know that. And hit the giant in the head and the giant came tumbling down. And then David took a sword and he cut the giant's head off. But after that, there was a parade. It was a parade of triumph. And folks went to singing, David has killed, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. Well, you guess what that did to King Saul? It chapped his hide a little bit. because it made him sound like he wasn't a top dog anymore. I mean, he tried to give David his armor. Hey, wear my armor. It's king's armor. David couldn't wear that armor. So he didn't get no glory. See, that way, if David had went down with the king's armor on and defeated Goliath, and then Saul could say, well, you know, he had my armor on. No wonder he survived. But he went down without it. Saul could not claim one iota of victory. No, God got the victory that day. Wasn't David, but the people praised David. And what did it do to Saul? Pride rose up in Saul. Saul got angry. Saul got so angry, in fact, he decided, you know what, I'll just kill that little sucker and get that over with. I can solve all this problem of everybody bragging on him. I'll just get rid of him. Well, he had one little problem. He had a son named Jonathan. And Jonathan loved David as if he were his own self. And Jonathan just wasn't too happy about his daddy wanting to kill his best friend. So in Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 through 7, the Bible says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee. In other words, kids, I'm going to go talk to daddy about you. And he said, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee. And because his works have been to thee ward very good, for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore, then, wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be very, very diligent. We need to be... What does diligent mean? Let's look at the definition of diligent. Because I say that, and I don't know that everybody understands what diligent means. It means showing care and carefulness. We need to be very careful, folks. I want you to understand that there's a devil, and he's out for you. Amen. The Bible says, let us be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not coming to scratch you. He's not coming to just paw you around a little bit. He's coming to take your head, Sam, and bite it clean off, and then drink your blood. He wants to eat you alive, son. He's coming for you. I want you to understand that. I'm not just picking on you. I could do this to JD or anybody else. But I want you to understand, because I'm picking on you right now. Hey, listen. He's coming for you. He knows your habits. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to exploit them, and he knows how to get you tripping over your own feet. I'm telling you, we better be careful, Sam, because if we're not careful about obeying Christ, the devil will take advantage of us, and he will destroy you and ruin your testimony, and he'll ruin everything in your life. I think we saw this week just how the devil can destroy a family. I think anybody that saw the headlines of the Duggar family sees how the devil, even in a... Listen, me and Brandon were talking about that. You know, he said it real well. Satan don't discriminate. He attacks in the best homes. He attacks the best families. He attacks everywhere he can. We've got to be diligent in guarding our heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen? We better be diligent, careful, and watching out what comes into our life, what we allow into our life, what thoughts we dwell on. A little, the Bible says a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. It only takes a little sin to eat away at you and get you out of God's will and get you somewhere you never intended to be and keep you a whole lot longer than you ever intended to stay there and cost you a whole lot much more than you ever intended to pay. Careful. Guard your heart. We must be diligent. Number five. So we've learned we need to be faithful. We need to be constant. We need to be holy. Keeping Christ's commands, and we need to be diligent about keeping Christ's commands because there's an enemy coming to destroy us. And that goes right in hand with the next one, which is vigilantly. Vigilantly. What does vigilant mean? We've all seen Westerns. I used to hate Westerns. I don't know why everybody likes Westerns, but I always hated Westerns. They all sounded the same. I'd always hear them in the next room. It was all horse beats and gunfire and Indians going, woo! It was all it was, sounded like in the next room. But in those Westerns, you know, you'd hear that music, and he's creeping up the hill and the bad guy's in the fort and he's looking out, looking to shoot. See, he's vigilant. He's a vigilante, right? He's a vigilante from justice. And he's what does a vigilante do? He's always on the lookout because somebody's after him. The posse's after him, right? Sheriff and all the guys are after him. And they're climbing up through the rocks and he's trying to get away and he's hiding. Being vigilant, always watching your back. Again, because you've got an enemy coming after you. That very next, right after that, amen, we read down through verse 7 in 1 Samuel, but looking there in verse 10 through 12, it wasn't long. Hey, Saul got all right. Saul got okay, but guess what? It didn't take long for him to get upset again. Verse 10, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with a javelin. Man, that's rough. I'm going to stick this thing through you and stick you to the wall, son. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him. He's coming after him. And to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. We better be watching out, not just for things that are around us, but for things that can possibly come after us. Amen? The Bible says, you know, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen? Listen, we've been around him long enough. I think we know how he comes after us. So instead of, everything's okay today, and just blindly going into tomorrow. Folks, Satan, he don't quit. I want to tell you something. You got saved, praise God. But when you got saved, Satan didn't roll over on his back and wag his tail. Uh-uh. He didn't give up because you got saved. There's danger still. And he's watching you. He may not be attacking you today, but there's danger lurking. Folks, he's watching you. Remember what I just read to you, or quoted to you from 1 Peter, where it says, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking. He's looking for cracks in your testimony. He's looking for the areas of your life where you get lazy and lax when it comes to certain things. He's looking for the areas of weakness in your life. He's looking for an opportunity when you stumble. So you've got to be more vigilant than he. And we're not, are we? We go through life like nothing's going to happen until it does. Everything's fine. Boom. What happened? I don't know. I wasn't looking. We got to be careful. Folks, if you drove the way you lived, and some of you may, I don't know, but if you drove the way you lived, you wouldn't make it very long. If we were about as careful on the road as we are with our choices in life, we'd be a dangerous folk behind the wheel. Amen. God says we need to be vigilant, faithful, constantly, holy, diligently, vigilantly, keepers of Christ's command. Number six, we ought to be attentively. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37 and verse 37. We ought to be attentively keeping Christ's commands. Psalm 37, 37, and 38 says, mark the perfect man. Now, when he says perfect there, he doesn't mean without sin. He means mature and grown up in the Word. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. That's one who's keeping Christ's commands. That's one who honors the Lord with his life. That's one who would rather die than turn his back on Christ. Mark that perfect man. Say, that one right there, that guy, I'm going to keep my eye on him. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. God wants me to observe those who are following his commandments. Listen, that's why it's good to have disciples. It's good to have folks discipling others. Amen? It's good to have those who have matured in the Word and have grown in faith and grown in grace. It's good to have them come along and bring others behind them and show them how to walk and not fall down. Listen, we need to be careful to watch those who have been successful in this Christian life because, listen, you ought to see the rewards of following Christ. You ought to look and say, you know what, if I follow Christ, that's what I have to look forward to, is someone who's able to make it through anything. Peace follows the one who keeps Christ's commands. Amen? His grace will be sufficient no matter what you face, and his peace will be abundant to keep you afloat no matter what you endure. Verse 38 says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. God wants us to look and see what happens to the one who ignores Christ's commands as well. God's not going to put up with it forever. My friends, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to put an end to those who ignore him. We ought to pay attention. We ought to be attentive and see exactly the benefits of following God. And number seven, we ought to do it carefully. Joshua 24, and we're almost done. Joshua 24, in verse 14 and following, we ought to follow the commandments of Christ carefully. Joshua 24:14 and following, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua was careful about how he was going to do things. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, like parting the Red Sea and water out of the rock and all those things, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went. Oh, he made their shoes to grow with their feet. He made their clothes to not ever wear out. He kept a cloud over them to protect them from the sun, and he gave them a pillar of fire by night to light their way. And among all the people through whom we passed, he gave them victory over their enemies. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now listen to Joshua. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that you have done good, after he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Well, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. I don't know where you were. I don't know where you were the day that you came to Christ. But I can tell you this, if you came to Christ and you got saved, you came to him with your whole heart. You turned to him with your whole heart. You didn't turn to him with part of it. You came to him completely. Amen. When a person gets under conviction of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost of God shows a person and reveals to them how lost they are, and they see themselves as utterly, hopelessly, helplessly lost in sin, and they realize there's only one way, and the only way you can realize that is by God showing you that, the Holy Ghost of God revealing to you that there is not salvation in any other, neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when we come to that understanding, we come to that realization, and we come to the point where we want to be born again, and we turn to him with our whole heart, and we believe on him, there's no half in, half out at that point. You come completely, you don't come at all. God wants all of you. God wants all of you. Somebody I saw put on Facebook the other day, and I reposted it. I liked that. It said God wants full custody of his children. He don't want weekend visits. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. And Joshua echoed that to the children of Israel. He said, You can't serve the Lord. If you're going to serve somebody else, you can't serve God. There's only one way to keep his commandments. That's all the way. I can tell you right now, if this little boy right here decides he chooses what he obeys and what he doesn't obey. He does what he wants, but then what he don't want to do. He doesn't do it. We're going to have some problems. Amen? And I can promise you that I'm not going to put my arms around him and say, Oh, I'm so proud of you for not doing what you were supposed to. No. I'm going to turn and rend him is what I'm going to do. Amen? You say, what do you mean? I'm going to knock a knot on his head, or I'm going to put some heat on his backside, or I'm going to put some hurt on him somehow in order to turn him back, his heart back to serving his dad and doing what he's supposed to do. He's to carefully follow my commands, just as you are to carefully follow the commands of he who bought you and rescued you and paid your sin debt, paid for it with his own blood. Died for you, gave himself for you. What will you give to him? What will you give to him? A thimbleful? Every now and then when you can? When troubles come, is that when? No, my friends, faithfully. Can I ask you this morning before we dismiss from the service, are you faithfully keeping Christ's commands? Are you doing it constantly? See, don't say, well, preacher, what about you? Because, see, I have to ask myself these questions. Don't worry about what your husband does. What about you? Don't ask, what about my wife? What about you? Well, what about mom and daddy? No, what about you? Well, my brother, what about you? Are you constantly seeking to please the Lord? Are you holy? Are you part of you still longing for this world? Is there part of you that's still seeking fame or fortune? Is there part of you that's still seeking the applause? Look up here. That's still seeking the applause of men. Is there part of you that still wants others to brag on you for your great accomplishments? Are you given over to Christ? Holy. See, if you are, you'll be a servant. And you say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I said, "Preacher, I'm not no missionary. I'm not no preacher." Listen to me. Everybody's a missionary. Everybody. Even if it's just the gas station or Walmart. Amen? Everybody's a missionary. Everybody's a preacher that's saved. Are you willing to be careful and watch and be watchful and guard your life? Are you doing that? Are you paying attention and noticing how God works truly in the lives of those who follow Him? Are you seeking to be like that? Is that what you want to be? Are you wanting to be a follower of Christ? Or are you just hanging on till Jesus gets here? God wants us to live this Christian life. It's to be enjoyed. It's not to be endured, folks. Living for Jesus is not a drudgery. Living for Jesus is not a pain. Living for Jesus is a joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a thrill to get to live for Christ. And I ask you this morning, compare yourself, not to me, but to the Scripture. Not to your friend, but to the Scripture. Not to someone sitting with you, but to the Scripture. Do you line up? If not, why won't you humble yourself before God? And ask Him to cleanse your way. And ask Him to fill your life with His power. And follow His commands. You say, "Well, I'm not sure." Get in the Word and know His commands. He'll teach you. And He'll give you victory. Even in the midst of chaos and confusion. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I pray, Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, if You're working in somebody's heart, Lord, I pray nothing right now would distract them at all. Lord, I pray that You'd focus them sharply upon what You've shown them. Lord God, I pray that Lord, even now, the Holy Ghost of God would trouble their hearts, Lord, to come and do business with Thee. Lord, allow them to know that the only relief they're ever going to have